Well, I'm sure I've mentioned more than once my generalized gratitude towards the lectionary, because it forces us to look at, over the period of those 3 years that it takes to make our way through, it takes us really to all the major themes of Scripture. And the church year, working in conjunction with that, makes sure that there are some things that we might not cover, if you will, we do. And this Sunday is one of them. Trinity Sunday. And you might wonder why we have it. And there's a lot of reasons why we have Trinity Sunday. The primary one is that the Trinity is really important for us to know about and to think about, but it's not easy, which means that, well, being human beings, being as efficient with our energy as we might be, we might just skip over it. Because it's difficult. It's a tricky doctrine. And it's tricky for lots of reasons. And perhaps one of the trickiest, and this is one that you'll run into now and then, is because it doesn't appear under that label in the Bible. And you'll run across people, I'm sure, if you haven't already, who will tell you that the Trinity is simply a man-made construction that doesn't have any evidence in the Bible, which is incorrect. Quite true, it is not named by the name Trinity in the Bible, but there are lots of things, as I'm sure I've said before, there are lots of things that we know to be true that aren't necessarily named in the Bible. My favorite example, of course, is automobiles, which are not named in the Bible ever. We still accept that they're true. We believe that there are things that are important that the Bible doesn't cover for one reason or another. And we also believe that there are some things in the Bible that are essentially scriptural that aren't ever named in the Bible for whatever reason. I wish I had a nice, well thought through reason why we don't have the word Trinity in the Bible or some functional equivalent, but, well, we don't. But do we really need it? Because the issue isn't the label. The issue is the fundamental reality that says that God is simultaneously one and three. And this is something that we'll never fully understand, and I think, as we've said before, we need to be okay with that. There are things in the Bible, there are things about God, that we will never fully understand because we're not God. We'll never understand eternity. Immortality, possibly? Although whether we'll be able to wrap our minds around that, even in our glorified bodies, who knows? But certainly not eternity, because there is always a time when we weren't. And the Trinity is another one of these. Much like the Incarnation, it's a unique thing that is beyond us. Well, why would we need to think about the Trinity? Why couldn't we simply take it as given? Well, because thinking of the Trinity tells us some really, really important things about God that are important to us as human beings. There are all kinds of God's attributes that, in a sense, we need to know they're there, but we don't need to really grapple with them. Omniscience, for example, knowing all things at all times, we need to know that, but we don't really need to work through it, because it doesn't have, in one way, it doesn't have a direct application to us in the sense that we can learn from that. We accept it because it is, that God knows everything. But it's not an example to us of how to live our own lives, perhaps. Because we're not omniscient. No matter what our children might think at some points, we're not. We can give the impression, more than once, our children have given me that, "You talked to Mom about this, didn't you?" "No, I just knew." "How do you do that?" "Well, I'm older than you, I went through the same thing," whatever, there's lots of things that give the illusion of omniscience. But we're never required to be omniscient. God never says, "Look at me as the all-powerful creator of everything and be like me in that aspect." But there are things that we need to look at God and see that as an example, see that as something that we can aspire to. And one of the most fascinating things about Trinity is that it helps us see that God, at his very essence, is a relational being. That from before the beginning of everything, before the creation of the universe, God wasn't alone. And this is one of those things that's hard for us to grapple with and we'll never fully understand, because God was one, but was also three. There was never a time when the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit weren't together. Jesus did not create God the Son with his birth. He pre-existed them. The Holy Spirit did not spring into existence at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit was there from the beginning. And what this tells us is that in this triune being, that the interrelationship between beings, between people, are of ultimate importance. Our culture will frequently tell us that the pinnacle of arrival as mature human beings is independence, which is simply wrong. Interdependence is the pinnacle of us as mature human beings. Independence, saying that I don't need anything from any of you, is not a sign of maturity, but rather a sign of immaturity, and is a sign of foolishness. How can I be independent? I don't know how to make a car. I don't know how to build the MP3 player that I'm going to record this sermon on. I don't know how to build the internet that I'll put it out there for other people. To say I'm independent is just foolish. And yet our culture will often tell us that the idea of us is to get to the point where we don't depend on anyone, where we don't need anyone. And thankfully, this is starting to make its way out of our culture again, but it was very much there when I was growing up, and I certainly still see it all over the place, from our cultural icons and movies and books, that Lone Ranger, in every sense of the word. Although, of course, the Lone Ranger had Tonto. Even the Lone Ranger wasn't a Lone Ranger. But we need to be interdependent. We need to be in relationship with other people. And we need this because it's part of who we are as created beings. There's all kinds of conversation around what does the image of God within us mean? And there's lots of different directions we can go to look at that. You can make a very compelling case that our sense of humor is part of that image of God within us. But even more than that, when we move into an interdependent relationship with the people around us, when we are fully aware of and exercising that relationality that we all have, that's when we are demonstrating the image of God within us. There was never a time when God was alone. There was never a time when God asked us to be alone. And in fact, right at the very beginning of creation, when there was only one person, God says, "It isn't good for you to be alone." Every year, around this time of the calendar year and at exactly this time in the church year, we're given the opportunity to think again of what does it mean that God is a Trinity. And we can spend a lot of time talking about the evolution of the doctrine, and I've done that I think in other years, and that's of value. But what it comes down to is that deep understanding that we have to get to, that in the same way that God is not a single being only, we shouldn't try to be single beings. That instead of looking at our dependence on other people as a weakness, to look at it as one of our strengths. Because in interdependence, that's where we begin to see the whole being greater than the sum of its parts. Interdependence is where we see the proper exercise of spiritual gifts. A church simply can't function without interdependence. I need the gifts that you have to be part of this faith community every week. And you need the gifts that I have, and we all need the gifts that each other have. Not in the sense that we're leaning on it in the same way that I'm leaning off and on this stool here, because there's something wrong with us, because that's not what it is. It's saying that as human beings, we have limits. There's only so much we can do. And by embracing each other, those limits are transcended. Whatever our needs are, they're met. There's nothing wrong with us admitting that we need each other. That there are things that only you can do for me and for all of us and for the greater community here. And we see that right from the very beginning. All through Scripture, we don't always see things that we could easily turn into a Trinitarian formula like we have at the end of Matthew, where Jesus says, go and baptize people in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But what we do see all over Scripture is God presenting in the three different persons so that we might be met best. We see God working out His purpose for the world in different persons, from the creation at the beginning where the Holy Spirit was there creating the world in which we have, to the incarnation where Jesus, the Son, came to show us what it means to be fully human. It's God the Father being there, nurturing us all through. We look to the Trinity and we find ourselves in it. We see different aspects of ourself in what the Trinity is. And when we look to each other, when we realize that without your input into me, I will never be whole, in a sense, we follow the model of the Trinity. We don't know what it would be like for one person of the Trinity to be removed, because that's never happened. But we can look at ourselves, and we can look at the people around us, and we can see how badly crippled we can be if we refuse to allow people to build into us, when we decline the offer of relationship. It looks different for all of us. Some people need to be married and some don't. Some people need to have children and some don't. Some people need many friends and some need a few. We're all different, we're all unique, but we are all relational beings made in the image of God. And if we don't take care of that fundamental relationality within us, we'll never be the people we've been called to be. In Hebrews, we're told not to, what's the old King James, not to stop meeting together, whatever it is. That's not just so the church won't have, to prevent the church needing more money than it can raise. There's no sense you need to be here just so we can show off that our church is full. It's that this is one of the relationships that we need to have. In the same way that we need friends and family, we need a faith community around us. And when we do that, when we take that seriously, when we admit it and live it out, we're not addressing a weakness or becoming more weak. What we're doing is we're saying that this is the example of human beings at their very best. Following the relational example of God in the Trinity, that we might be in relationship with those around us. And it's there, in that interdependence, in that deep understanding that I need you, to find who we really are and can become all that we've been created to be. Amen.